Good morning and welcome to the Project Joy radio show. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Here's our assignment.
Right.
Most human beings have an almost infinite capacity for taking things for granted. Here we have another deadly aspect of beliefs and assumptions. We believe, we assume, and we take for granted that we'll wake up in the morning, the brain will work, the light switches will turn the lights on, water will come out of the tap, the car will start, the computer will boot up, the phone will have service, there will be food to eat, the money will be there. It's endless. And those are just the big things. We don't even notice. We don't notice all that makes up our lives because we're off and busy in a conversation about another imaginary life, the life of ego. Today, happily acknowledge and appreciate the aspects of life you ordinarily take for granted.
So, people kid me, as they should, because I do tend to repeat. But one of the things that I say regularly, good Lord will and the creek don't rise. As you know, if you've ever watched a movie or, that, yeah, a movie, TV or on the screen, big screen, from this perspective, the parent, the child is, you know, don't go, don't go. And the parent says, don't worry, I'll be back, I'll be back. You know that person is going to die. It's just such a perfect setup. So not to fall into that habit of assuming, of taking for granted, because we don't know. Everything that's in the future, we have to put what we say about it also in quotes, right? Because we have no idea. Yeah, it's just another... it's just another angle on that. That anyway, let's see what other people saw.
All right, here's our first caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Good morning, Sherry and Ashwini. It's Jen.
Hello, Jen.
Hey. So this is one of my favorite quotes. I find myself saying it a lot because it's so my experience that I feel like it's one of the biggest challenges, which is staying awake to all the miracles of just kind of everything. So when I was recording about it, what was so interesting is that I saw the very process happen. And so as I'm recording about it, the insights are just flooding in. I'm just seeing so much about it and, wow, and then there's this and then there's that and, then later in the day, as I'm listening to my recordings on Shuffle, it feels like everything is speaking right to that, you know, that sort of phenomenon. And then I watched how there's this process, a conditioned process of sort of hoarding that, if you will, sort of hoarding the insights. And I realized, oh, my goodness, that's exactly what it does with, you know, all of life. So there I am, like, gosh, I live in a beautiful place and I have this beautiful food and I have an amazing life and I get to, and there's sort of this, I remember you talking about years ago, you used the image of when someone hears a song that they love on the radio, they go to turn it up to sort of, you know, make it bigger.
Enjoy it more.
Yeah. And what you suggested was, it's interesting that it doesn't occur to us to turn it down and to really listen. And that's what I was seeing is that's, it's like conditioning attempts to take the incredible abundance and miracle of life and to turn it into, now I got to make it better. It turns it into a thing, basically. And
well,
tries to get me
and
to,
if I may, Jen, because it sounds like what you're saying is tries to make it bigger or make it better while ignoring it.
Exactly.
Right? So,
I put it in
this room in the back of the house, and I put a lock on the – there are no windows, so I can just put a lock on the door. There. Okay, I don't have to attend to that. I'm going out for more.
Yeah. Yes, that's exactly it. You know what, when you said that, what dropped in is that process of eating something that's really delicious, you know, amazing, and the mind going to, I'm going to go get more while I'm eating it.
While I'm eating it, yes.
Right? It still has plenty on the plate.
Right, and I'll leave the, I mean, I've got it in my mouth. Right, and I'm
exactly.
And I'm no longer with that experience because I'm going to get more. Yeah, that what a perfect image for it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. So just that, what I saw, you know, that place of, you know, when ego's really at us and self-hate's there, and that place of, you know, I choose unconditional love, and what I saw was that's also really effective and important. On the other side, where it's like, oh, and this and that insight relates to this, and okay, let me see if I can. And it's that place of just huge thank you, I choose unconditional love. In other words, mm-hmm. that side of the duality kind of, it's so big and it's so amazing, and what could I sort of do with this? You know, I could, whatever, to tune into unconditional love there. In other words, there's never anything to hold on to.
So I've said this, Jen, every time I've been around anybody, well, I probably said it to myself any number of times too, but lately, which is that I choose to serve that which makes me want to serve.
Yes.
And so with what you're saying, the variation on that would be, I choose to attend to that which incites.
Yes.
To that which intuits.
Yeah.
Not to what that intuits or insights, right?
That's
so it's back to the seeing, right?
Yeah.
It's not what I see; it's what makes me see. It's what causes. It's what enables me to see. That's the treasure.
Thank you for that, Sherry, because that really just it really assisted me to see what goes on. Is that it's like we always say, but conditioning is turning a process into a content.
Yes.
And so
exactly.
Right? Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
And what you're also seeing in this that's so powerful is, as you say, the insights are just coming. Boom, boom, boom. They're tumbling over one another. Well, then we get distracted into, okay, I need to cling to that one because that's really good, and I can do something with that. That could go in the back room. That's a backroom worthy insight. And if you stay in that place, you're just watching those insights tumble in, and you're getting a glimpse of where they're coming from.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. Yes. Gosh, and that, it feels like a razor's edge. My intuition is that it's a huge, wide open space, but that what feels like a razor's edge.
But you got to go through.
Of just relaxing and just letting the process happen.
Yep,
and just watching that addiction. Sorry, go ahead.
Yep. You got to slip through. That dropped in for me in meditation this morning. You know, wanting to bring conscious awareness to for people is that let go of meditation needs to look and feel a certain way. Just practice sitting down and sitting still and watching for life. To give information, to talk to you, just that.
Yeah.
And that's looking at the same place.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. As a way to practice that process, not whatever comes out of it. And then I'm going to go do something with whatever comes out of it. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
So good.
Very good.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Sherry.
Makes
thanks
things fun, doesn't it?
It does.
Thank you, Jen.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Jen. You know, Sherry, as I was listening to that conversation, what dropped in is tying it to the theme of the undulation as well. That when we turn to that which is animating, right, when the attention is on that, then the undulation is simply content, right? That here it's place of that is dark, and here there's a place of light. But it's only when we're in the process of suffering, which makes the what the important thing. I'm feeling this way because of the circumstances, and I'm feeling this way because of the circumstances, then we get attached to the circumstances, and keeping the circumstances constant and permanent and fixing the ones that we don't like and going for the ones that we want. But if we don't do that, if we do what you and Jen were talking about, which is to have the attention on the process of life that is animating, then it doesn't matter what the circumstances are, because we can serve that process no matter what the circumstances. And I project that's what the Buddha was talking about, form and emptiness, right? That emptiness is what everything is and takes form in different forms. But we don't lose sight of the fact that emptiness is what it all is. That's what we're turning our attention to, which is that which animates, which is completely in everything, whatever forms it takes.
Wow.
Makes just sitting down and being still very exciting, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
That is where everything is happening. Ego would say, oh, no, you don't have time for that. You've got to get out there where things are happening. No.
that's backwards. All right. Mm-hmm. That's great.
Here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hello. This is Laura from Berkeley.
Hey there. Hello, Laura.
Hello. Well, I've seen a couple things. One was that one thing I noticed was, well, my wallet got stolen last night.
Your what?
And my wallet.
Your what, Laura?
Was stolen.
Oh.
My wallet
oh.
was stolen last night.
Ah.
Yeah.
There's an opportunity, huh? That's a spiritual opportunity par excellence. Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, my gosh.
But you know what the neat thing was that It was just kind of an experience of like, oh, okay, well, I guess I need to call the bank and the credit card company. And, you know, it just, and then it was, you know, laughing with the people in customer service. And it just dropped in, you know, as I was going to bed. It was like, that's amazing. That's a miracle. Like, my wallet was stolen and it was kind of like, but it wasn't suffering, you know.
Yes, it was, wow, well, this isn't tops on my list of ways to spend my time right now, but it's what we've got, so, okay. And to celebrate that attitude, right, where you are in your life, that conditioning, self-hate doesn't just plunge you into hell. That's a big time.
Yeah. And you know what I was seeing is that part of it is, I think part of it is that I've been struggling with some health stuff, and yesterday I was just feeling really grateful for things I normally take for granted, like having energy and being able to be, you know, going around and all that stuff. So I think partly it was that. It was like, oh, whatever, it's a wallet, I don't care, you know. It's like
exactly, I feel good. I feel good. Thank you. Everything else can be whatever it is. I'm fine. Wow. What a big point. Yeah. Ooh, to stay there, huh?
Yeah. And maybe just to see, too, because, you know, and I think it was powerful, too, because it's like, you know, it's been tough to sort of see the health stuff as a gift or see that as okay or anything, you know. So I think just A, to be able to see that's one gift is that it makes other things not, you know, it puts me in gratitude when that's not happening. And there was another thing I thought of, but now I've forgotten. So.
Well, we were talking about that at group last night at Center. Someone was saying, kind of the opposite experience of, I've been healthy all my life. And then I got really sick. And so just to feel the way I'm used to feeling, just to feel healthy, I'll never take that for granted again.
Mm-hmm.
I've had that different experience, which is what you go through on a regular basis. If
if I'm understanding that clearly. Yeah, but that you feel well and then plunged into another one of these times of not feeling well. And so seeing the difference between those two. And, of course, you know, it is hard. The only thing to me that kind of is an advantage, forgive me for framing it this way, please, it's very concrete. You know, most people looking at undulations really don't have a clue about when it starts, how it works. It's just, you know, one day I'm fine and the next day I'm not fine. But how did any of that happen? It's not at all clear. And with this, you really can watch that back and forth, and you know that your job is unconditional love for that human being, no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? So you see what I'm saying about that, right? I mean, there's no doubt about what's happening to her and that she needs unconditional love and that you're the only one who can supply that. If we don't have something concrete in our lives, it's all so terribly amorphous. And conditioning, and you probably actually experienced this in other places in your life, I don't really know what's going on about that. Easy to identify with the person who's upset about work or relationship or money or whatever it is. Not in that there's an authentic incarnation, a human being that we have the ability to save, to take out of suffering and embrace in the unconditional. Harder to see under those circumstances.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I've been finding helpful. Back on Open Air a while back, you were talking to somebody with some health issues, and your encouragement was to start praying.
Mm-hmm.
I've kind of been taking that of, both sides. Like when I wake up in the morning and I feel good, just being like, today my prayer is thank you. Today, you know, like, and mm-hmm. And then on the other side, you know, whatever support you can give me, and if that's, you know, and if what I'm supposed to be doing right now is not being well, then I'm willing for that too. But, you know, like,
that's right. My acceptance is unconditional. That's what I'm practicing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's not easy, but as Jesus said, it is worth it.
At least
he said that, you know, in my little poster. It's not easy, but it's definitely worth it. And we know that, right? You know it's worth it each time there's that popping into the unconditional, and we realize circumstances just are irrelevant.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yep.
Take care of you, huh?
All right, thank you.
I don't even have to tell you that. I know you will. Thanks, Laura.
Thanks, Laura. You know, Sherry, it's so funny. I mean, not funny, but I just...
Interesting.
The power,
unusual. Peculiar.
Yes, all of those things, the power of prayer. And the thing that I have started to notice when I do that is that there's a way in which we surrender something. And in that surrender, perhaps that is the gift. You know, that part of what I guess we're doing on the spiritual path is to let go egocentricity, that sense of agency, that sense of will, that thinks that we could make all the difference and we can affect outcomes and all of that control. And when we are in those very vulnerable places and we accept that we're not, that seems to be the gift. And prayer assists us to do that because we're finally moving into surrendering the fact that I can't do this.
Yes. Yes, that's so important. Of course, I can't not think of Gary Zukav. You know, we make 10% of us makes a choice, and then 90% of the universe gets behind it. So there, so everything that's going on that is supporting the egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate that is smeared all over this human being, I'm going to ask for help here because I feel like right now I've gotten as far as I can get on my own. So anything in life that it can offer support, I'm open to it. Now, what you're saying, I project, is that I'm open to it is what makes all the difference. Because that support, we can guess, was always there. But we weren't open to it because we were choosing to have control, do it my way, all those things that you just laid out. But as soon as we drop that and we open to receiving assistance, there it is.
Yes, because what I was just writing in somewhere that an attitude of receptivity is important because even omnipotence cannot give if you're closed. And I think that awareness that we are closed doesn't come to us until we get to those places where we're given gifts, where we recognize, I can't do it.
This is beyond me. Yeah.
And then we're empty. Ooh. And now we can receive all the support that there is.
Yes. Yeah. Well, that's some subtle stuff, isn't it?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, here's our next caller, Sherry. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Ashwini. It's Ramita.
Hello, Ramita.
I am right there with this conversation. It's so cool. I've been watching an undulation. Is it undulation? Undulation? Undulation.
I say it undulation. I don't know.
I'll say undulation, and it occurred to me
yesterday.
We'll
all say that, and then we'll change the world, Ramita.
You and me and everybody, yes, yes. While I was listening to the Project Joy yesterday, it seemed like the undulation that I have been noticing is between resistance and willingness. And as I was watching this, you know, I've just come out of a period of suffering, and it was different, though, because I haven't gone into the feeling bad about it and instead have the experience of the incredible joy and relief and falling in love with presence. It's like it almost makes it worth wandering. You know what I mean? I mean,
it's like hitting yourself in the head with a hammer. It feels so good when you stop.
Which kind of speaks to the
quote, doesn't it? I didn't notice how good that felt not to do that until I did it and stopped doing it.
Yes. So one of the things I got was I take the moment for granted when I'm not present, and I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. And then the other part that you and Ashwini were just talking about is that sense of incredible gratitude that sees my whole life as these undulations, and I'm still here. I'm still practicing. And if I'd been in charge of that, who knows what would have happened.
Yeah.
Blowing me wide open.
Yes. I project that you're stepping back and really seeing clearly what you want for your life, which is you know, we would think that, well, that's kind of 101 awareness practice, but it's not. It's really not. It takes us a really lot of practice to get to conviction of what I choose for my life. And so we can look around and we can see people who are operating out of kind of women and children first off this boat after my ego, right?
Yeah.
And it's held up, that life is held up as the way it should be. You know, you should have tons of money and you should be able to have any kind of surgery you want. And you should, you know, all of those kinds of things, the rich, the beautiful, the famous, the successful, and getting to that place of saying, well, you know, all that's fine. And if it happens to me, great. But what I really want, is presence.
Yeah. Yeah. And each time I land back here, it feels like I'm landing at a deeper grounding of it and a broader and more sparkle and more gratitude and more compassion for this being and all beings, because we wander, we get distracted.
Yes, yes. So instead of any desire for something else or envy of people or that thing that people are tortured with, well, but if you were doing it right, wouldn't you be able to, shouldn't you actually, and to just, you know, it's that prayer of may all beings be happy. May all beings end suffering. May all beings find peace. I just want to be here in that intuiting stream of intuiting that we were talking about with Jen, right? That's it. There's fulfillment. And as you say, every time we come back to it, we come back with a deeper commitment and conviction.
Yeah, and then again, that sense of taking for granted how this life unfolds, how this incarnation has evolved, and, you know, taking credit for it or you know, judging it, like you were saying, and instead just seeing this as an undulation, another wave of, you know, clouds of fog coming and going, and this is just how it goes. This is the process of waking up, and I'm here for it, and thank goodness that life keeps me going.
Yes. Oh, that's so helpful. To look at the, things are a little murky right now. In fact, I'm pretty miserable right now. So I want to pay really close attention, because this is what egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate feels like and what it does to a person. And so this is part of the workshop, right? I like the parts of the workshop where I'm ecstatically, blissfully happy. But that tends to be a result of having let go an identification, right, that might have been attached to me for kalpas, right? We let it go and there's that, oh, yes. Oh, here we are in the sunshine. And as you say, once we get the hang of it, it's really worth it. We're not resisting going through those places because it's a workshop.
Yes, yes. And each time I come home, there's more of that bliss, more of that ecstasy, and it's broader and deeper. And it's just like, oh, this is what they're talking about.
Well, I remember this.
Yeah, I don't have to struggle with the identification moments. I don't have to struggle with that.
That's right, because when the time is right, I'll pop, right? Mm-hmm. I'll pop up and be out of that when the time is right. But I'm not going to be in charge of that. And you know what? I don't even want to be. Right? I want to leave this all up to wiser wisdom than that I possess, especially when I'm identified with ego.
Yeah. Yes. Trust that which has gotten me here so far.
You're right. I've done a pretty darn good job so far. I'm sticking with it.
Yes.
Thank you, Ramita.
Thank you so much, Sherry. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Ramita. And wow, Sherry, we're at the end of another show. Wonderful show.
I know.
And here is our assignment. And it's so appropriate to what we've been talking about. Courage is the price that life exacts for granting peace. What a beautiful, simple how-to for ending suffering. Ego-centered karmic conditioning self-hate is fear. Fear is how ego controls us. Fear is how ego keeps us focused on it, on a conversation about how we need to be safe. Are we in any danger? No. The only danger we're ever in comes from turning our lives over to the control of egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate. When we find the courage to choose life over the fear that is ego, we're rewarded with the peace of presence. Today, look for those little moments of turning attention away from ego and to presence. RL about the peace you feel in presence.
Isn't that lovely?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you, Ashwini. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, Sherry.
Treasure yourselves.
And we'll see you tomorrow. Good luck. Good.
Okay.
What? Good luck.
Good luck. Well, the creek don't ride.
Don't ride.
Okay. Thank you. Bye bye.
Bye bye.